Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Tuesday, September 14th, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high-quality content that is so excited to bring you this special episode, which is a one-on-one conversation between myself and Flyers anthemist Lauren Hart. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Flyers to keep up to date on all the Flyers news, episodes, all that good stuff. You can also email the show at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. I am your host, Rachel Donner. You can find me on Twitter at rmiriam. Who are this season's top 50 NHL players? Find out on the Locked On NHL podcast. Joe DiBiase, Mike DiStefano, and I revealed the top 50 players as voted on by our local experts across the Locked On NHL network. Subscribe to the Locked On NHL podcast on YouTube. Turn on your notifications so that you never miss an episode. Locked On Flyers is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you are listening right now. Hit subscribe so you'll get all of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. All right. So like I said at the top of the show, I am absolutely thrilled to welcome to Locked On Flyers, Lauren Hart, singer, songwriter, recording artist, the voice of the Philadelphia Flyers. Welcome, Lauren.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to join you.
Thank you for joining us today. So just starting out in general, like when did you first know you wanted to sing? Do you have any early memories of performing in front of friends or family or anything like that?
I do. You know, my mom, as my mom will tell it, I was singing in the crib, but I do remember in literally in second grade, we had chorus practice, and the choir teacher in my elementary school asked if I would sing a line solo, not something I had ever done before or thought about, but I went ahead and did it. And later on that evening, she had called my mom and said, "Do you know your daughter can sing?" But I do remember that day singing that solo. It was just in the other classrooms, and there was like a couple of the second grade teachers in there. But I remember when I sang, all of a sudden, everybody just stopped. And I was like, ooh, I like this. I think I might like this, you know? And it's different for me because I'm not, and people say this all the time, which is strange, but I'm not a real outgoing person. I'm a shyer person. So it seemed like not the thing that I would do. But I just loved singing so much. And I really just got that energy from performing that eventually my desire to sing was greater than my fear of being in front of people. So that's how it worked out. But I do remember really early that young wanting to be able to sing. Yeah.
That's so amazing that you didn't want to really perform in front of tons of people. And now you perform in front of tons of people all the time.
I do. And I will tell you that I still get really, really nervous in front of people. I think once I get going and I'm in it, then I'm okay. But prior to going out to perform, my heart is going. So I've tried to tell myself that it's adrenaline and it's keeping me focused and energized as opposed to what it feels like, which is fear or, you know, anxiety to get up in front of that many people. And I think it's in particular with the national anthem because it's such a, you know, it's such a moment and it's such a difficult song. So I think that when I go out with my band or when I'm in different circumstances, I don't quite get that same, like, take your breath away feeling, but people always laugh when I say I'm still nervous when I go out there, but I assure you that I'm still a little bit on my toes there before I sing every night.
Do you have like a different style of music that you prefer to listen to versus sing and record, or do your styles kind of align?
I do like to listen to different music. I like jazz. I love instrumental music. I love ambient music and just a whole wide variety of things that aren't my genre. I think my genre is more is pop and rock and kind of independent music. And I did love theater music, though, and I do love just all sorts of types of different recordings, even dance music. You know, like, you know, I love the technology and all this, the cool stuff that people are able to do right from their living rooms, you know, so it's fun. I'm always interested in different kinds of music.
You mentioned a little bit about how the U.S. National Anthem is a notoriously difficult song mm-hmm. to sing. And, you know, over the years, we've seen different people make different choices with it and how close to the melody to stick. How do you approach your choice with the song? And have you made adjustments over the years?
I took the advice of my father a long time ago when he said, just sing the song straight and sing it, you know, sing it to the best of your ability. But the song is not about me so much as it is about us as a collective, you know, the fans and myself. And so I just try to keep it, you know, I definitely have my little flair and my little style here and there, but I do definitely try to keep it straight. And I think that that's how everyone connects to it. You know, that's how we all connect together. If you see a more stylized performance or something that really is a out there interpretation of it, you're more watching that person and not so much taking part in the moment of what I think it's supposed to be, right? So where we have this tradition before sports, we do the anthem, and it's kind of, you know, it's a respectful moment, and it's also a moment where everybody in the room is on the same team, you know, and we're respectful of you know, the O Canada as well. So it's kind of a unifying moment. And I try to just, you know, for me, I try to go in and I give it 110% every night that I go out. Hopefully I get it right. Sometimes I don't get it right. It's just the nature of being a singer and having to do something like that. But I try to bring everybody in with me, you know, when I sing, and I try to make that connection with people, you know, as much as I do the performance of it, if that makes any sense.
No, it absolutely does. And along those lines, are there any particular games where the anthem like took on a special meaning for you, or you just felt it in a different way than usual? You were especially present in that moment, whether it's for Flyers reasons or other reasons?
Well, I mean, timely right now was September 11th, the first time the Flyers played again. I went out and sang after September 11th. That was, wow, a major shift in, I think, how people listened and heard the anthem. I saw people pay attention more. I saw that in the eyes of people, it meant something different. And it kind of has grown from there. Prior to that, I'm not saying people weren't as interested, but it didn't elicit the same kind of emotions. So I always remember that particular game. And I do, two other times, I do remember one night that I went out to sing was the night that I learned that I was in remission from cancer. And that was just an amazing moment to walk out there and to know that, you know, I had gotten a good bill of health and here I am doing the thing that I love to do. Unfortunately, the Flyers lost that game that night. And we were in the, you know, seconds from the finals of the New Jersey Devils. And we almost made it, but we weren't quite there. So I definitely remember that. And I remember the first time I did the God Bless America split screen duet with Kate Smith, that it was absolute magic. Because that is so ingrained in the history of the team and the sort of good luck. And it was from my father's generation. And it just kind of connected all those dots. And it was something so unique. You know, I'd never seen anyone do anything like that before, you know. So I definitely remember that night and just how seamlessly we went out. And I practiced it once before the game. It was something that the prior president of the Flyers, Ron Ryan, had been a huge music fan. And so he said, well, what if we do this kind of duet, kind of like Nat King Cole and Natalie Cole, how they did Unforgettable. They had done this split screen video with her father and he had long since passed, but he thought, wouldn't that be great? And as soon as he said it, I could picture it in my mind. And so they went to town and they put all the music together and said, see how this feels. And I practiced it once before the game, and that was it. It was just like, it was right. It was all right there. So that was kind of a magic moment too. But there's so many of them, truthfully. There's so many of them. Because I really, truly just love being able to do it. I'm the ultimate, you know, Flyers fan along with everybody else, you know. So it's kind of real. Every night I'm really energized. And, you know, I love to sing and I love to perform. So they're all kind of special. But those nights in particular, I remember well.
I can't believe you only practiced that split screen duet once. That's incredible.
Once, you know, and people in music will tell you, sometimes those moments happen, you know, like you'll write a song and there it is, you know? But that was one of those things that I didn't have to think about it. It just worked. It just fit. And so, yeah, those are great moments when they come along. Not all the time, but they do happen.
Well, as a spectator, I can say it absolutely worked because I remember it very clearly.
Yeah.
It's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON. Right now, there are odds up for preseason NHL betting too. Put your wagers down on Stanley Cup, playoff team, and division winners. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, soccer, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simpler way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and TV shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. So you mentioned your cancer remission, which we're all grateful for. You decided to go public with your cancer diagnosis, and you kept singing the anthem at Flyers games. And what led you to make that decision to go public? And looking back on it, like, what did you take away from that experience?
So I think, you know, my dad had passed away from cancer 6 months prior to me getting diagnosed. So I felt like I needed my Flyers family. You know, I grew up with all the people there, all the team members and the people in the offices and the trainers and all the, and I just felt like I needed to be with my people, you know, and the Snyder family, who are my second family. And I think I kind of did it mostly for preservation. So I wanted to know that even though I was kind of going through this rough time, I knew that if I could go out and sing for those 90 seconds or get in front of people, that I would still be living and I would still feel, you know, alive. And I would feel like my life didn't completely come to a screaming halt, because, you know, outside of the arena, I do music full time, and a lot of things that I was doing at the time just kind of disappeared at that moment, fairly or unfairly, but I still had my Flyers family. And so it was really, really important to me. So I felt like I went into it just to, you know, have something to be motivated for. But it ultimately turned out to be a completely different thing to me, because I didn't realize at the time that, you know, how many people have gone through this and how many families have been touched by it and how many people have friends that have gone through it or who were in the building at that time that had cancer themselves. You know, so we were all connecting. And I said this to a friend of mine, Pat Croce, the other day, that one of the greatest things to happen out of the awful experience that it is for anyone to have to go through that was the idea that, you know, people had reached out to me that I had never met, didn't know, and were willing to share their stories and said, hey, I've been there, I did it, and you can do it too. And that just was so life-changing for me to hear that I wasn't alone and that people do get this and they do go forward. I think when you're young, you don't ever think you're going to get an illness like that. But those connections with people became so important, and I wanted to pass that on, just like people helped me just by being, you know, kind, you know, no real crazy gestures or doing anything, but just saying, hey, I see you, I've been there, or I know somebody, and you're going to be okay. And so I felt like that commitment to myself and to other people touched by cancer. And I felt like it was absolutely poetic to go out and be a warrior every night for a hockey team which are so well known for getting banged up and getting right back out there. Unlike maybe some other sports, but you know, their hockey players are tough. And that was sort of the embodiment of that, was just, you know what, this is rough, but get out there and keep going. And so that's kind of, at the end of the day, it was just, I just wanted to keep going.
Well, I know for a fact you inspired a lot of people and helped a lot of people by doing that. So thank you again for sharing your story with us as the Flyers community.
Well, you know what? And that thank you goes right back, because I felt like everybody lifted me up just with good, you know, with just good energy and good vibes. And we're like, come on, you can do this. So it's mutual. It's completely mutual.
You've mentioned your father a few times in terms of how he helped you along. And of course, that is longtime Flyers broadcaster, Gene Hart. He was the voice of the Flyers for so many of us and kind of defined the team for a very long time. He's in the Hockey Hall of Fame. But, you know, aside from all of his on the ice calls and, you know, legendary moments that you link with him, is there something about him off the ice that maybe we don't know that made him special, you know, aside from that?
Well, yes, there are many things. Well, he was a great dad, a great family guy. You know, family always came first. And as much as they traveled and as much as we had sort of like a non-traditional, you know, upbringing, in other ways, it was completely traditional and family oriented. So he's a great dad. He was a great teacher, much like he taught hockey to everybody. He was a teacher. So not literally taught history in a high school for years, even into his broadcasting career, when finally it got too much and he had to choose, and he chose to be the broadcaster. But he just was a wealth of knowledge, not only in hockey, but in music and in science and so many different things. He was just such a smart guy and such a kind person. And I think that the thing that a lot of people know, but that bears repeating, is that he interacted with fans in such a down-to-earth, regular guy, in it with everybody. And people so connected to that, that after he passed, I got a lot of letters and things saying your dad was the great broadcaster that he was. But I got a lot more talking about, you know, your dad showed up at my high school for my kid's graduation, or your dad came and spoke about something at our school, or your dad visited my son in the hospital when he wasn't well. And one of the ones that I will never, ever forget, and somewhere in my home I have this letter, but someone had written me a letter and had told me that he was involved in a very bad accident, and that he was literally on the side of the road, and how terrifying that was. He said, but a man stopped for him and got out of his car and got down on the ground with him and, you know, and said, hang in there. You're going to make it, and this is going to be fine. And I'm here with you. I've called for help. I'm going to stay with you. I'll be here. And the guy had written, he had no idea who it was that was helping him until he saw his hand. And on that hand, he had his Stanley Cup ring. And oh, the guy wow. said, in that moment, I realized it was Gene Hart here with me. And he said, he's like, he was so moved by that moment. And you know, that's just the guy he was. He was just such a good man, a good person, a kind person, and a giving person. And you know, he was this superstar in hockey, but he was even a bigger superstar off the ice for people, I think. And I think a lot of people do know that, you know, and I think it's neat to be able to share those stories for the things that people don't know as much about him.
Fall weather is in the air, and with that, I'm going on lots more hikes than I was in the heat of the summer, and the perfect thing to bring along with me is Built Bars. Built Bars are a soft protein bar, but they taste just like candy bars, and they have 18 amazing flavors to choose from. There's something for everyone, no matter what your tastes are. Some of my personal favorites are the raspberry, cherry barcia, salted caramel, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. And if you can't decide, you can get a mixed box where you'll get two of each. But the best part is that it's healthy. Built Bar is great if you're looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in that delicious treat. They have 17 or 18 grams of protein, but only 130 to 180 calories. They're low sugar, low carb, and great if you're on the keto diet. Go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. That's so interesting that you mention about his teaching career and the fact that he taught so many people hockey. And, you know, I can certainly speak for a generation of us that he absolutely taught me about hockey and what it was and the nitty gritty of it. And like, I would not know what I know about hockey today without Gene Hart. So,
and you know, a lot of the phrases that he coined are still used by broadcasters today. Things that were sort of outside, like a rugby scrum, or these little things that he brought into the game that might not normally be part of it, but he made it really visual, and he was so good at just describing how it felt and what was going on. And you know, a lot of people tell me that, you know, when I was a kid, I had to go to bed before the game was over, but I took my radio into the bed and I would listen to your dad in the games in my room, you know, like. And so that's just like a cool childhood memory.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
So switching gears, you have had the opportunity to wear a lot of the Flyers jerseys over the years when you come out to sing the anthem. And I was wondering if you had a favorite amongst them.
I do. Well, I have personal favorites. I really do like last year's jersey, although we all didn't get to wear it in the building, but I liked that, the style. I always loved the black jersey because it just was really cool. But my favorite jersey still is the traditional white jersey that I wear with my dad's. It was his number in sports when he was a kid, 68. So I wear his number, and that particular jersey is my favorite. The bright orange ones are kind of cool from the past, but wearing them, I don't know if I love some of the orange ones, my lesser favorites, but they're, you know, there's great ones. And I love my purple NHL Fights Cancer jersey. That's one of my favorites.
Oh yeah, I love those. I personally am on a crusade to have the NHL do what the AHL does and split the season in terms of home whites versus home color or dark jerseys.
Yeah.
And like, bring back the home whites. I love that.
Yeah. Right. I like it too. That's a keeper jersey, you know. And I have an old, I have so many jerseys, honestly, but I have an old Bernie Parent 1970s with the one on the back, that original 70s orange, that I don't wear, but I keep. It's a really cool jersey. I love that one too.
So a lot of changes behind the scenes and on the bench for the Flyers this upcoming season. How are you feeling about it?
You know, I'm the person at the beginning of every season that sits there and goes, we're going to the Cup. You know, I'm like the ultimate optimist. And I think it's always sad to see players go when you get to know them. They feel like they belong to your town and to your team. And as friendships grow, you don't like to see people, you know, go. But having said that, you know, it's like a band. So you can have all the most perfect musicians and guitar player and piano player, but it doesn't mean the band's great. So I think that it's so much is this chemistry and this thing that you can't put your finger on that is intangible. So I think mixing it up and having a mixture of older players and younger players, vets and rookies, and to generate that energy, I'm very excited for this season. And I'm very excited for a lot of the younger players that are up and coming. And some of our, you know, players that are in their, you know, second, third seasons. Cause there's so much potential there. And I think we're going to be really good. Maybe that's my ultimate optimism again, but I'm kind of really excited to see what happens, because there is no question the talent is there. There's no question about that. The question is, how does that chemistry work, and do they get into that groove? You know, if I were to go out and sing the national anthem and I'm like spot on, the next night I'm going to come out and I'm going to be ready again. I'm going to be spot on. But if I go out and I give a less than performance, one that I'm not happy about, the next time I go out, I'm kind of hesitant and I might do it again. And if I get a couple games where I don't feel like I'm me, it can totally change everything. So if a team comes out and they play a game that's not so great and then another game that's not so great, it's really hard to reverse that. It's really hard to backpedal and, you know, get the energy going again. But it only takes a game or two, you know, to jump back into things. And I think success begets success. And the thing you're looking for is consistency. So the more that you can capitalize off of those things to keep it going, the better. You know, so it's very easy for a team to get into a rut. It's really easy. You know, I mean, they're human beings too. They're pro athletes and they're at the top of their game. But it's not as easy. It's not just as easy to say, oh, you make a ton of money, go out there and just, you should do this, you know? Because if we all knew how to do that, every city would have a Stanley Cup team. We'd all be winning 24/7, but it is that kind of like that unknowable thing, that it factor, that extra something that defines a team. And once that gets going, once they feel that, then the sky's the limit. So you hope early on that they catch into that wave of feeling good and feeling like they can be successful and that they can win, and anything is possible. You know, the teams are all really at any given night, any team can beat any team. The worst team can beat the best team. So I think having the fans in the building and having that energy back and feeling that Philly thing that we do, it is going to be really exciting, you know, because we are diehards, as you know. We're there. Win or lose, we're showing up. So it should be an exciting year. I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, I know I'm excited as well. I think Chuck Fletcher made a lot of really good moves, some risky and, you know, we'll see how they pan out. But I think that he did everything he could to put the team in a successful position this year. So I am personally very excited and looking forward to it. Now, there's one thing that you haven't had to do for a while, given all the restrictions and everything, and that is sing O Canada. Did you miss it? Are you excited about it?
I am excited about it. And on opening night, we get the double shot.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, I am. You know, the O Canada is, it's just such a singable song, you know, it's just a very lovely melody, and it's just it's just, I wouldn't say easy to get up and sing anything in front of that, but it just feels like a song. Whereas our anthem is very like, let's go. It's about power and strength, and the range is huge, and it's a complicated song, as singers will always tell you. But I love singing "O Canada" because it's just very melodic, and it just feels beautiful. You know, it's a beautiful song, so I'm psyched to sing it. Yeah,
I can't wait for opening night now.
I know. I'm nervous talking about it. I'm nervous thinking
about it. Well, I'm sure it will be great, as always. Thank you so much for joining me today. Is there anything you want to plug or tell people where they can find you out there?
Sure. Well, September 18th, I have a show at a place called The Living Room in Ardmore, Pennsylvania. The Living Room at 35 East. So my band and I will be playing our first show out in quite some time. So we're excited about that. LaurenHart.com. You can find all my music that's not "O Canada" or "O Say Can You See," because a lot of people are like, "Oh, you do music full time?" And I say, "Yes, this is what I do." So yes, if you're interested in knowing more than the anthem side, check that out. And I'd love to see people in person. You know, I like to get to meet fans and to connect outside of the building. So that's pretty cool too.
Thank you once again. This was so wonderful, and we look forward to opening night. Once again, thank you so much to Lauren Hart for joining the show. So lovely to speak to, and such an integral part of Flyers history and culture, and could not have been happier to talk to her. Thanks again for listening to today's show. We'll be back again tomorrow with our regular programming with Russ Cohen. As a reminder, we always want to hear from you. Send us in mailbag questions via Twitter at LockedOnFlyers, or you can email the show at LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com. I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at RMiriam. That's RMiriam. Thanks for listening and have a great day. Betting on the NHL doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts.